Philippians 2, beginning in verse 19. You know, I think when I think of the work in India, I oftentimes think of the church in Philippi. The Apostle Paul had a beautiful relationship with this church that he had started on one of his missionary journeys. And the Lord did an amazing work. He had taken the gospel to this church, and in spite of great persecution, the church there was born and began to thrive and grow. And they were so blessed, they felt so blessed, that they wanted to be a blessing to others, particularly to the Apostle Paul, and to invest in his ministry in the way that we've invested in the ministry in India, through people, through praying, and through the provision of giving. And Paul talks about some of those willing, some of those selfless servants who represented and who exemplified the spirit of the church in Philippi, beginning in verse 19. He said, "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare, for everyone else looks out for his own interest, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me, and I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it's necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I'm all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may also have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you could not give me." You know, someone has compared the church to either a battleship or a cruise ship. Indeed, there is a difference between a battleship and a cruise ship. On a battleship, everyone has a job to do. I don't do your job, and you don't do my job. And if you don't do your job or I don't do my job, the mission will not be completed. The ship will not be able to function as it's supposed to function. On a battleship, everyone has the same mission. On a battleship, everyone is an employee. There are very few, if any, spectators on a battleship. Battleships travel to places that are not always friendly and oftentimes are dangerous. And when the people on a battleship aren't actively engaged in combat, they're training to do battle. But things are different on a cruise ship. It's a getaway for people to escape work. Take a vacation and have fun. This is a place where people go just to kick back and relax. Most cruise ships travel to places that are fun and beautiful to visit and to see. On a cruise, everything revolves around your comfort, your convenience, and your satisfaction. There is a small group of employees whose sole job it is to make sure that the passengers are happy and their every need is met. Most people on board are simply along for the ride. You see, there's a difference between the mission of a battleship and the mission of a cruise ship. And I think it's pretty evident today, as I've laid these two alongside one another, that God intends for the church not to be a cruise ship, but to be a battleship. And the church in Philippi was a battleship kind of church, not a cruise ship church. There were two men in particular who exemplified the spirit of service that pervaded this entire church. Their names were Timothy and Epaphroditus. And Paul writes about their exemplary service, first to Christ and then to the church. And what he's doing in that is he's laying out the essentials that need to be involved in a church that is truly a battleship church and not a cruise ship church. And my prayer today is the Holy Spirit will drive home to our hearts the importance of our having a servant spirit, the importance of being engaged in meaningful service in and through the body of Christ. Now, servants of Christ are essential to a healthy church. And today we see in the lives of Timothy and Epaphroditus some of the qualities and some of the characteristics that you find in Christ's servants. Number one, Christ's servants are available. They're available. They're available to the Lord. They're available to the Lord's leaders. And they are available to the Lord's people as servants of the church. Now, what did these two guys do? If you just think back on the verses that I read earlier, basically they had a very simple mission. And you may think it was a rather insignificant mission. Their purpose was to deliver messages, and material. That's simply what they did. They went back and forth between Paul in Rome and the church in Philippi, and they were bringing messages back and forth and also bringing help to the apostle Paul. Just look at what Timothy did. It's talked about there in verse 19. Paul says, "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you." So Timothy is delivering information back and forth. And then verse 25, "But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs." Now, that may not sound like much, carrying messages back and forth. But don't underestimate the value of what is happening here. If they had not done this, if they had not been available to Paul to deliver his message to the church in Philippi, and available to the church in Philippi to take resources back to Paul, this relationship would have not existed. Paul's message for the church, which we find here on the pages of Scripture, would not have been delivered to the church. The church would have missed this valuable truth that is found in the letter here. You and I would not have this book of the Bible to study if Timothy and Epaphroditus had not been available to the Lord and to the servant of the Lord to deliver the messages. We would have missed out on learning about their example had they not been faithful. And I want to just encourage us to never overlook or underestimate the value of seemingly insignificant deeds in the body of Christ. It's easy for us to do. It's easy for us to overlook the value of something as insignificant and small as mentoring a boy or a girl in a school. It's easy for us to overlook the value of caring for preschoolers during the worship service. It's easy for us to overlook the value of something as simple as helping people in the parking lot. It's easy for us to overlook the value of just simply going after and helping a child get to church whose parents do not attend. And I could go on and on. The church is made up of these little small deeds that oftentimes are overlooked and underestimated, but the church could not exist without them. When we stand before the Lord as the people of God of all of the ages in heaven, and the Lord distributes rewards, I think we're going to be surprised at what He thinks is important in service, and the applause and the reward that goes to some people who served in very hidden and seemingly insignificant ways. You cannot serve God without serving each other. If you say you're available to God, then you're going to be available to the needs of others in the church. That's exactly what John was talking about in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20. He says, if anyone says, I love God, but hates his brother, he's a liar. Now, let me just pause there and say that probably no one in here would admit that you hate or think that you hate someone. But so he takes it a little further. He says, if anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And so what that verse is saying to us is that if I say I'm available to God, if I say that I love God, and I think all of us here in the room would want to say that, the proof is in the pudding, as they say. If I say I'm available to God, then I'm going to be available to others in the body of Christ. I'm going to be available and truly serving and loving others in the church and through the church. You can't say you love God if you're not involved in serving other people. So start the day with simply saying, Lord, I'm available to you. I'm yours. You use me. You use my time. You use my money. You use my energy. Lord, I'm yours. Use me today. I'm available to you. Now, I know this may sound a little weird, what I'm about to say, and I'm hesitant to even speak about it because I know that it may sound a bit self-serving. But I want you to know that's not my intention at all. It's to simply point out the fact that these two guys made their pastor, the Apostle Paul, a very happy man because they served. Paul had asked them to do something. They had submitted to his spiritual authority in their lives. They saw that helping Paul was serving Christ. It wasn't just for Paul, it was for Christ, and it was because they loved the church. And I want to just encourage you today to know that when you're involved in ministry, you are making your pastor very, very happy. And you are blessing the people around you. Imagine what would happen if this attitude that was possessed by Timothy and Epaphroditus pervaded our church. Imagine what would happen in our church. I believe what would happen is the same thing that happened in the early New Testament church that we find described in the book of Acts. Acts 4, 34 and 35 says, there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money for the sales from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet. That means they allowed the apostles to have the prerogative to distribute it as they felt necessary in leading the church. And it was distributed to anyone as he had need. So what was happening here is that everyone in the church was available to serve. Everyone. They made all that they possessed available to the work of the body of Christ. They submitted to the spiritual leaders, yielded their resources because they cared about the church. Imagine what would happen in our city if we unleashed a couple of thousand people like this on our city. Imagine what a message that would send to the lost and to the hurting and suffering people in our city. So Christ's servants are available. But they're also thoughtful. Christ's servants are thoughtful. They think about the needs of other people. You notice that about Timothy. Look at verses 20 and 21. He said, I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interest, not those of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to notice two things about those two verses that I just read. First of all, Timothy was truly interested in the well-being of people in the church. You see, that's why it's so important for you to be actively involved in the church. And actively involved in Sunday school and in a small group where you have the opportunity to know other people and to know their needs and to be interested in their well-being. It's the first thing I want you to notice about that. The second thing is that when you're interested in the well-being of people in the church, it's the same as being interested in the work of Christ. You see what he says there in verse 20? 21, everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of, notice he doesn't say the church. He says those of Jesus Christ. And so, friends, Christ's servants are thoughtful. They're interested in the needs of other people. They're not just here for themselves. So God put it on Paul's heart to involve Timothy and Epaphroditus in a work. And in essence, they said yes to Paul. And in saying yes to Paul, they were saying yes to Christ serving. They were doing it through a thoughtful heart. You see, this whole relationship here that we see described in these two paragraphs of Scripture literally drips with thoughtfulness. You see it if you look carefully. Look at verse 25. There's this thoughtfulness in the feelings that are spoken in the instance of Epaphroditus. He says in verse 25, I think it's necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus. Verse 26, for he longs for you. And he is distressed because you heard he was ill. In other words, he said, Epaphroditus was concerned that you would be so distressed when you learned that he was ill. Do you see the thoughtfulness going both ways? Verse 27, indeed he was ill and he almost died. But God had mercy on him, but not only on him, but also on me to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. You see, he's saying there not only is Epaphroditus a concern for the church. They were distressed to learn that he was ill. But Paul is saying, listen, if something happens to Epaphroditus, I don't know what I'm going to do. I will be overcome with sorrow. You see, Epaphroditus had been sent by the Philippian church to Rome to help Paul in prison there. Why? Because the church wanted to care for Paul's needs. And why were they distressed about Epaphroditus' illness? It is because they loved him. And why was Paul so concerned about Epaphroditus? It's because he truly cared about him. You see, it's just flowing in every direction, this thoughtfulness and this love. Earlier it mentions that Paul wanted to keep Timothy with him. Why? Because Timothy was so valuable to him. He was such a ministry to him personally. And that's the way it ought to be in the church. If something happened to you, would you be missed? If your life was suddenly taken from among us, would people say, I don't know what I'm going to do? They're not here. They ministered to me so effectively. I don't know what I'm going to do. Noel and Ruth Jacobs have been a part of our church for many years, and they're moving to Mississippi, and we're going to miss them because they've been so actively involved in our church. Noel is up in the parade. Noel, where are you up there? I see you. There you are. I see that hand. Ruth is sitting out here. Noel, so involved in evangelism and sharing Christ with other people, all the time asking for Bibles and tracts to give away to people. And people have come to Christ through Noel's ministry. Ruth, so actively involved in our choir program and children's choir program in particular. We're going to miss them. Why? Because they were so engaged in service. Let me just ask you, if something were to happen to you, would people look around and say, well, oh my, what are we going to do? They were so involved. They had such an interest in our lives. We're going to miss something because they're gone. Is that the way people feel or going to feel about you? If something happens, then you're removed from our midst. And the same thing is true about our relationship with our city. You know, I've asked this question before. It's a question about whether we're a missional church or not, whether we're a church filled with servants, whether we're a battleship or a cruise ship, is if something happened, you know, just something were to happen strange, that all of a sudden every one of us is removed from this city. The church no longer exists. every one of us is evacuated from this city, would the city say, wow, what are we going to do? They're gone. Travis Avenue Baptist Church is gone. What are we going to do in this city? You see, that's the gauge whether we're a battleship or a cruise ship. Christ servants are available and they're thoughtful, mindful of the needs that exist in the body of Christ, and they do something about it. There's something else we see here about Christ's servants. They're also reliable. They're reliable. You can count on people like this. You know that when they're asked to do something, they're going to do it. They're going to see it through to completion. I think about Timothy in verse 22. Paul says about him, but you know that Timothy has proved himself. He's proved himself because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. By the way, here's an important principle. You may not feel adequate to be involved in some area of service, but the easy thing to do is simply to go up to somebody who's serving there and say, will you show me how to do it? Can I just shadow you for a while and watch how you mentor kids at George C. Clark? Can I just shadow you for a while and see how you help people coming in and out of the door? Can I just shadow you for a while and see how you do this or do that? You see, Timothy served with Paul. He learned to serve from Paul. If you're involved in a ministry, you ought to be looking around you to see who else you can get involved in it. Let me just show you how I do this. In case I'm not able to do it someday, you can step in and take my place. About Epaphroditus in verse 25, Paul says, I think it's necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus. Why could Paul send him back? It's because he was reliable. He could depend on him. Now you just look at those words there. He says he's a fellow worker and a fellow servant. He's not just a worker, not just a soldier. There's a little prefix on the front end of both of those words in the original language. He's not just a worker, but a co-worker, a fellow worker, and a fellow soldier. You see, we need that in the church. We need to work alongside each other. There are too many tired, weary servants. There are too many tired and weary soldiers in our church because they do not have fellow workers and fellow soldiers. You can come alongside and help. I'm impressed that Timothy and Epaphroditus didn't let their own limitations affect their reliability in service. You look here, both of them have things swirling around in their lives, most notably Epaphroditus. He's been sick, almost died, but he's still out there trudging away doing the ministry. Just about anybody I know that's effective in ministry has something going on in their lives. They have aging parents to look after. They have physical limitations. They have needs. But they don't let that stand in the way of their reliability in service. These kinds of servants are reliable because you know they're not going to quit when things get a little rough for them. But the last thing I want you to notice about Christ's servants is that Christ's servants are valued. They're valued. God honors them by rewarding them, and we ought to honor and value this kind of service in the church. You see it in verse 29 about Epaphroditus. Paul says, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor men like him. Because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help that you could not give me. You see, these are heroes in the church, and we look up to them, but it's not that we sit back and applaud all these hardworking people while we're just sitting on our rears and not doing anything. They're to be heroes because they're examples that spur us on to activity, inspiring us to greater heights of service. Now, this is a spiritual matter. It's a spiritual matter. When you're serving in this way, you are serving not the church. You're serving Christ. And if you're not serving Christ, there's something wrong in your spiritual life. Romans 12:11, Paul says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. To put it bluntly, if you're not involved in actively serving Christ, you're not right with God. I know that's blunt, and it's in your face, but it's just the truth. You can't say you're right with God if you're not serving Christ and His church and the community through the church. My intent is not to just make you feel bad. Obviously, my intent is that you would repent, that you would obey God. That's the first thing. Then I want you to do something about it. And we're going to provide a way for you to do that. Chad mentioned earlier that across the street tonight in the South Complex, we're going to have a ministry fair, a service rally. And if you're not plugged in somewhere in ministry, you can come over there and just check around. There'll be dozens of places, tables that you can, you know, just check out and see what's going on and begin to pray about how you can get involved in one of these ministries. Maybe you'll go and you'll see somebody walking along there and say, hey, guy, come over and help me. I need help in this ministry. It's a battleship we're a part of, not a cruise ship. Everybody on the team has a job to do. Have you found yours?